You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland, 107.1 and 91.1 FM, and streaming online worldwide everywhere at xray.fm. Good morning. I'm David Schilling. Welcome to This Just In. I have a special show for you today. Portland artist Jason Adams of Sun Adams, The Upside Down, Daydream Machine, and I also have Peter Holmstrom from the Dandy Warhols, Pete International Airport, and Sun Adams. They sat down with me to chat all things music. I'll have that interview for you, plus new music from Spoon and Parquet Courts. All right, let's kick it off. Spoon have just shared a new single which will appear on their upcoming album, Lucifer on the Sofa, and that's set to be released February 11th. Here it is. This song is called Wild.
I was reminded every measure, riding trade winds, buried treasure. I got on fine with modern living, but must I be such a citizen? And the world still so wild, called to me.
So wild, call to me.
was the new single from Parquet Courts called Watching Strangers Smile. They released the song by playing it live recently on the Ellen DeGeneres show. The song comes from the sessions from their last album, which was released back in October. It was called Sympathy for Life. And it was an unfinished track that didn't make it on the album, but we got it now.
X-Ray FM is supported by Three Paws Pet Supply. Aiming to help pets in the South Waterfront neighborhood have healthy and active lives with hand-selected dog and cat food, toys, treats, and supplies. Now offering curbside pickup and limited local delivery. You can call the store at 503-719-5204 to place your order. You can also visit Three Paws Pet Supply in person at 3147 South Moody Ave, or find more information at threepawspetsupply.com.
Portland artist Jason Adams of Sun Adams, The Upside Down, and Daydream Machine, and Peter Holmstrom from the Dandy Warhols, Pete International Airport, and Sun Adams sat down with me to chat about the latest from Jason's new project called Sun Adams. Plus, we chatted about all things music and even a bit of travel talk. Let's jump right in. All right, we are here with Jason Adams of Sun Adams, The Upside Down, Daydream Machine, and many more. We are also here with Peter Holmstrom from Pete International Airport. And then you have another band, I think, that you might be in.
You may have heard of them.
The Dandy Warhols. Mm-hmm. That's the one. Yeah. So.
And Sun Adams.
And Sun Adams. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was going to just say that you actually switched over from the guitar to the bass for that one.
I mean, I play a lot of bass, but this is like I'm only playing bass in Sun Adams for the live thing.
Perfect.
Yes.
Did see a gig and it was great. And Jason, you were just saying that the album was released 3 months and 17 days ago.
Yeah, October 1st, so it's still young.
It's still a baby.
Although to Pete and I, it probably feels like it's about almost 2 years or 3 years old. But actually some of the songs on it are from way back when Pete and I first met in the mid to early 90s. A couple of the songs are that old.
Wow.
But they finally found a place and were developed within the pandemic. So. Mm-hmm.
So you reached into the vault and
it really did.
Just trying to find the right fits for the album that way then.
Yeah. And a couple of them were sort of orphaned or tried with different bands and different lineups, but just never stuck or just never had the chance to like really get worked in the studio like Pete and I did.
And the album is called Let There Be Light. And do you consider it your first solo album?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, although it was a collaboration, it was just like me kind of telling Pete, I'd really like to lay down some songs that I've had around and some new ones. And yeah, Pete was just like, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. And so Pete just did what you told him to do then. I have this vision. I want to do this and play this bass part, Pete. No, not like that. Do it like this.
No, not at all, actually. Like I just brought in pieces of songs and played the same riffs over and over. And then Pete did I had a full hands-on producer. He really arranged the songs, came up with bass parts for those riffs, and just like really
bass parts, keyboard parts, guitar parts, percussion, whatever it needed.
Yeah,
a bit of everything. And you produced the album.
I guess that's the title. We started with just chords and a melody and ended up with a record. So, yeah.
And it's a great one. I have it. And I got it after seeing, I saw you play it, I think it was it the Star?
That was Star the Theater, first gig? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was brilliant, loved it. And the horns in there, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's been, it's the first time I've ever worked with live horns. There, I guess there's one Upside Down album that actually, I shouldn't say that, Liz Robbins played on the last Upside Down record too, but it's the first time I've had this many horns and then had them live also. So we're lucky to have a horn player that can play so many different horns. I think he's playing live. I think he's playing at least five different, maybe four.
Definitely four. Maybe, is it five?
Yeah.
Baritone sax, soprano.
Sometimes he's switching horns within a song, so yeah. That's
at least four, fun. If least not four. Five.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I loved it, and you also had a, was it your the guy who mixed the album was Stephen Street, who's a pretty heavy hitter.
Yeah, we were, you know, as we got farther and farther into the recording of the album, Pete said, man, I think should really kind of think outside of our usual, you know, who we usually use and just send it out and see what happens. So I sent it out to a bunch of producers. I mean, I really went for it. Daniel Lenoir and Eno, Mitch Easter, and Stephen Street, who, I mean, all the Blur albums and Morrissey and the last Smiths album. So when he came back and said, could you send me a couple more? It was like, wow, yes. So he sent him more and then he liked those and he said, let's do it. And I got everything over to him and just kind of pinching myself the whole time working with him. Yeah.
That's got to be amazing. Got to be like really validates what you have been loving making that somebody that has done so much like that says, give me more. I want to.
Yeah, it was really, it was Pete and I were just like, wow. And then when we started mixing, you know, the first time the mixes come back and it's not, some of them were like, okay, he made that better immediately. But there were a couple where we're like, oh man, I'm not sure this is where we're going. I kind of had to go over to Pete and get some counsel before replying. Like, you know, like how do you tell somebody like that? Those first couple like mixes that we weren't really sure about, it was tough to go. To ask somebody like that, but he was so gentle and such a collaborator and just felt he was like very understanding and easy to work with. And once that back and forth happened a couple times and he said, yeah, I think you're right. It really opened up the collaboration on the mixing and yeah, felt really at ease.
Well, that's perfect. Yeah. That's great. Had either one of you worked with him before or any connection with him?
I've been a huge fan. Yeah.
Wow.
Just love Blur and
I'm a fan. Matter of fact, I saw a picture that you posted last week of you and your wife at Blur gig in
London. Hyde Park.
Yeah. That must have been amazing.
That was just a coincidence. We were actually going to India and we had a layover in London and we saw that Blur were playing and got tickets and stayed with a friend. And so we stayed a couple extra days in London. But yeah, that was the Hyde Park show that they turned into a live concert DVD. So it's fun to watch it and say, oh, we're right in that area. You know?
Yeah. Well, matter of fact, I saw him on that tour as well, but at the Hollywood Bowl in LA, and which was my first show going there. And one of our really good friends, a really close friend, was their tour manager. It was Damon's tour manager, basically tour manager for Gorillaz and anything Damon does. And but unfortunately, tragically, awfully, Craig was killed last year in a car accident, just at 58 years old. And so just a great, great guy. But yeah, I saw that post and saw the shirt and it's like, yeah, that's good. That was a good show. But seeing him in Hyde Park had to be pretty epic. And so you two collaborate quite a bit already, right? I mean, Jason's been on some of your Pete International Airport, the last album.
Been on all of them, yeah. Including the next one.
I was going to ask you about that. That last one, I don't know if you remember, we chatted at the after the Star gig that you guys did. And, yeah. And I mean, I've just about worn my LP out of that one. I love that.
Yeah, the next one's, I think it might be better.
I like it.
I mean, that's what we're going for. I could be wrong, but I think it's better.
Any indication on when we might be able to hear some of that?
Really getting close to being done mixing. Potentially in a week or two could be done with mixing. It's that close.
Wow.
And then there's the mastering and all that stuff. And then you wait 8 months for vinyl. So probably next year.
Next year.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm going to, the plan is to put out a bunch of songs over this year, sort of the singles or whatever, just to put some stuff out.
That's great news.
So I'm hoping early summer, maybe the first track out.
That's really good news. Yeah. How much of a part are you playing in that one, Jason?
I'm singing on two songs and helped with a little bit of lyrics on another one of them. So, and a lot of listening and, yeah.
A lot of moral support.
I get a good consult credit. Just yeah. But I love he was mixing today, so
well, this is
one of the one of my favorite songs I've ever sang on, so it's pretty exciting. Yeah,
I think pretty much the best lyrics he's ever written. So
so in you've done with the Let There Be Light, you've done how many, you've done some shows for that?
Yeah, we not as many as we've booked because there's this whole thing going on, but I mean, we're fighting through it. We've even got to play out of town once. And yeah, I mean, I think we've had like 7 shows maybe booked and we've got to play 4. So we're better than half.
Better than it could be.
Yeah. And it's been going good. I feel like we had a really good PR agent who really believed in the album, really pushed it, and got some really good coverage from Brooklyn Vegan and some, you know, pretty major write-ups. So that's felt really good.
The vinyl's like almost sold out. Or
yeah, yes, yep, yeah, yeah. You better head over to Little Cloud Records. There's less than 100 left of all the before we have to reprint. It sounds like reprints are going to take about a year or so.
Strange times, right?
I don't know if that's part of the bottleneck on supplies or exactly what's going on. People just making a lot of records being stuck in their studios or what? Combination of everything, I guess.
Somebody the other day I was talking to blamed Adele.
Yeah, it's the blame Adele and Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
It's like everybody's putting out vinyl because it sells. They make money on it. Yeah. Why wouldn't they? And all like everything's being reissued for the 12th time on vinyl, fancy colors.
Yeah, get the splatter effects on the albums and great colors.
People can just stick it on their shelves.
Yeah,
why not?
It's the demographics getting older. I think is what it, you know. It's people like me that you know, I had a huge record collection back in the day that when CDs became the thing, I was like, why do I need these? You know, and I got rid of my entire collection. And, you know, 10 years later, completely regretted it and been trying to build it back since. And you know, then at the same time, picking up newer records like both of yours, which add to the collection. It's fun. But yeah, everybody's doing it.
Something really cool that's come out of working on this album, the Sun Adams album, was making the videos and collaborating with some different kinds of media, like I wouldn't say cartoonists, but almost like visual artists. So The Cat's Eye, which is the collaboration with Alex Moss, the lead track off the album, we had a illustrator from Rome. She just did this amazing kind of dark, it's almost got this Caligari looking character that goes through portals with the cat. And just if you haven't checked out that video, The Cat's Eye, Sun Adams, it's really something. From Susanna, she's a Rome illustrator. Yeah.
And when you were making that, did you come up with the initial basic concept of that and then,
you know, expanded on it? She had made a movie with one of our friends, Mike Bruce, and she had done all the illustrations in between the scenes. And I thought, that's really cool. And she used a Upside Down song. So I asked her if she had ever done a music video, and she hadn't. So she was up for it. And turning illustrations and animating them, had no idea. I'm glad I asked her about 8 months before it had to be done, because even knowing that, it came in a month late, but we were still able to get it, have it in time for the release. And
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the vinyl. Like, thanks to the vinyl getting pushed back.
Yeah. Thanks to the vinyl getting pushed back 3 months.
So that was one plus.
Yeah. Silver lining.
So, well, how did you guys get together initially? I mean, how long have you been working together, and what brought you together? Do you remember?
Well, I do. I actually remember two things. I remember, so I was going to college in Portland, and at the time I was in a band with Clint Sargent called the Bella Low, and we were living together. We were actually living with like 20 people in a Eugene house, which very Eugene. But one morning I got up and I had to step over like four people laying in our living room and on our couches and stuff to get my bike and go to college, go to school. And that night when I came home, Clint had the CD of Dandy's Rule, I think.
Wouldn't have been Dandy's Rule. No.
Or he had an early.
Yeah, probably had the demo.
Demo. Yeah. And that was the first time I heard the Dandies. So I hadn't met them, but I had stepped over them. And maybe a year later or less.
No, it was like probably about 3-4 months later.
Three or four months later, Pete came down with Soon 23 and we were opening for them. And he saw us play and said, do you guys want to come up to Portland and open for us, the Dandy Warhols, at Satyricon? And we did, and we were just like, it was such a great night and show, and we really were a good fit with them, and the crowd got us that didn't get us in Eugene, and we were just like, well, we're moving to Portland. And that might have been 94.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
And so you guys kind of clicked at that time, and like, we kind of have the same visions or
and
some styles.
When you're in your 20s and we just, you know, after shows, we would think we went out to Pete's parents' house once and skinny dipped or.
Yeah, probably. That happened a lot.
We started playing music.
Because a lot of your bands would open up for Dandies, wouldn't they? And for.
All of them?
I almost got to see the Upside Down.
Almost.
Almost. That close. Yeah. And the Dandy Warhols, too. Mm-hmm. You guys were going to be in there, too.
Yeah.
you know, like I said, moving down to Portland, and I really didn't know the music scene down here. I knew there was good music, but I didn't know how much. And it's incredible. It really is the amount of talent in this town. It's almost like under the radar for a lot of it. You know, you just kind of find, you know, like this band I was mentioning before, Rot, and they're, you know, they're high school kids, and you know, normally you would think, well, this is going to be kind of a fun listening experience. But then I listened to them, like, these guys are really good. You know, I mean, they're actually good. And, but it's been amazing. So I've discovered a lot of bands. Like I hadn't, you know, I didn't know the Upside Down before I moved down here. I knew Daydream Machine, cause I know Travis. And So we saw you guys play down here. I think you guys opened up for the Dandies at the Star at an acoustic gig.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And then with Pete's band in Seattle at, I think it was at High Dive.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And,
it was great. I mean, just get a little, you know, being up in Seattle, you just get a little taste of it. But honestly, and people in Seattle are going to not like me for this. I think it's better down here. I think it's more genuine and it seems, I don't know. It seems real.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's
definitely the 3 hours difference. You know, there's a whole group of venues and bands in Seattle that I love also. But I mean, I do love our town and the music scene. And surprisingly, when you really start to count the venues per capita, we really have a lot. I mean, we lose some, but we also, you know, having Revolution Hall now, and I mean, Mississippi Studios is, I don't know how old it is now, but it still seems newish to me, especially having when they expanded it and stuff. It's probably at least 10 years old, but
just, a lot of just really great and beautiful venues too. I mean, like Mississippi Studios, you know, the first time I went in there, I was blown away. It's incredible in here. It seems like people really support each other here as well and collaborate a lot together. You see names in different bands that moving around like both of you guys are doing here as well. What was getting back to the album Let There Be Light, what kind of was the main inspiration of that? What got you going and deciding to do that?
Well, Pete building out his studio, one, I mean, just having that space, and when we're down in there, it's like, you know, he's got every guitar or instrument you could ever want. So once you just, if you have two chords, I mean, once you start layering that and putting different breakdowns in, it's like, it's really inspirational. So once we had a couple of really solid songs, it was like, at first we were just doing once a week, and then we started doing twice a week and really working on the vocals. And
did it just kind of start by, you know, it's lockdown time or it's pandemic going on and can't play?
We had gotten started beforehand. And then, so when the lockdown happened, we were ready for lockdown. We were ready to just, you know, hide in the basement and make music.
It's almost like a blessing.
It kind of was. That was like, making music was my survival technique for not thinking about what's going on in the outside world.
Yeah.
Got most of my record done, Jason's record's done, and there was another record too that got pretty much completed.
That's great. And very, yeah, I mean, when you don't really have anything to do besides that, you're not going out to play or practice and such, that you can concentrate on it. And then you probably also have a lot of inspiration on what's happening in the world or in the city and with people's minds when going through something like that must have an effect on the songs or an inspiration on what you're going to write.
There really was, just kind of looking for some kind of way to feel all right.
I'm sure you guys know Todd Morrissey. I've become friends with him through some other friends, and he put out a single, last spring or early summer, and was basically about that, you know, about how he felt and his observations of it. And have you guys heard
that? Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. I liked that. Yeah, that's great. Great guy.
He's a good dude. And did you have, I saw something about there was some time, like 11-11 had some kind of an effect in there.
Well, I mean, 11 with Pete goes way back. I mean, he's been, you can see on his hand there's but that's been his number for all kinds of things. Like,
oh, it's just a number I started noticing when I was, I think, I don't know when I started noticing it, but I like cut my foot open when I was a kid and got 11 stitches. I was always number 11, whatever sports team I played in, for a number of years before I started requesting it. Like every time I got a school book, it always would be 11. I don't know. It was just weird. So I just adopted it.
It was just the powers of the universe saying,
yeah,
Pete's your number.
And, we had just a few coincidences of sending mixes at 11-11, and just some of them were like, where Pete almost said, like, did you wait till 11-11 to send that? And I was like, I did. But then eventually I started going, oh, it's 11-11. I better send something right now. But yeah, it's been fun.
It's to the point where if I look at my phone and it's 11-11, and I don't get something from him, and I'm kind of a little disappointed.
What's he doing? It's kind of funny. On the 11 subject, my wife and I got married on 11-11-11. And we didn't even really realize it. We were getting married in November of 2011 and just happened to pick that date. And then one of us wrote it down. We're like, it's all there. We were channeling you, Pete.
And did you do at 11:11 a.m. or
it was pretty close, actually. I think we were an hour late from that. We were all gathered and ready
somewhere in the world.
Yeah, somewhere in the world it was 11:11. And so Pete, you definitely keep your irons in a lot of fires with your projects.
Yeah, I like to.
Yeah.
I get a little stretched thin sometimes, but whenever I don't have them all, I miss them. So
is it one of those things where you just you love to make music so much that you have to do it?
Yeah, there's just people I want to work with too, and sometimes it doesn't fit within one of the other bands.
Can do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of how Pete International Airport came about? It was just some downtime and you're like, I want to go do something different.
I had some songs that Courtney didn't seem to have any interest in. And I had met this guy, Daniel Sparks, and I had him come over to work on my songs. That turned into us just writing songs together, and that became a different band. And so I still had these songs that I thought were good and needed to be completed. And the idea was that I was going to have a bunch of different singers, just local people, like write lyrics and sing. But only Jason stepped up. Yeah. So that's how the first record happened. And then the second record, it became more of what I originally had hoped for with different singers. And and in that time period, I'd met some more people that were more, that were interested and available to do that. So it became more.
And some of these people you would meet when you were out touring with the Dandy Warhols in different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And like I saw, you've got a gig in April with the Walls of Dada. Is that happening?
Well, I think it's March. But March? Yes,
March.
Yeah. And that's Chris Ollie from 6x7, who we if you don't know that band, you should really check them out.
Yeah.
They should have been way bigger than they were. Yeah, I met Chris when they were touring their first record, and we were touring our second in the UK. Been friends ever since.
On the music subject and the guitar subject, you love vintage guitars.
Kind of collecting. I like guitars.
Just guitars, period.
Vintage, sure, they're good. New ones are good, too.
And pedals. You're
as long as they do cool things, yes.
And you have your name on one?
Couple,
yeah. How about you, Jason? There's guitar collecting or vintage guitars?
I use guitars to write music, but I more just consider myself a singer and maybe a rhythm guitar player, or I can accentuate a part or something. But going over to Pete's and seeing his guitar collection is... it's really something. And the pedals, and the new pedal, the Polyamorator, is really out there. I mean, so is Charlie Foxtrot, his other pedal, but this new one is really strange, really bizarre and cool and fun.
Is that make an appearance on the Sun Adams record?
Because I had a prototype that I was just trying out to make sure it was, close to what I had imagined, and tried it out on, took it back to my studio, plugged it in, recorded something for the Sun Adams record, because that's what was up. So that was the first time it was on anything.
Is it also synths going through it, or just guitars, or...
I think the first thing I ran through it was a drum machine.
Drum machine, yeah.
Which ended up being really cool.
Yeah. So especially you with the Danny Warhols do a lot of traveling. But I've heard that you love to travel.
I do, yeah.
What's your favorite place? What kind of places have you been to?
Oh, man. One of our favorite places, Pete and his wife Michelle suggested in Sri Lanka, Kandalama, yeah. Just amazing. Architect? Michael Bawa?
No, Jeffrey Bawa.
Jeffrey Bawa.
Yeah.
He built this amazing hotel in the jungle, knowing that the jungle would grow over it. So now when you go there, it's like you're inside this like monkey colony with bats flying through the hallways and elephants outside. And it's just like, it's striking. It's
incredible.
Yeah. It's really something. Love that. Love traveling in India and Vietnam, and recently we went to Morocco and Portugal, and
love to travel and see it. Yeah. There's so many places. We've been to Morocco as well, and I was just blown away by it. And
the second side of the album starts with some field recordings that my wife and I did in Morocco. So you hear, it's kind of the main square of Marrakesh.
What about you, Pete? What do you, when you're traveling for yourself, what do you like to do?
I don't know. I just like to travel with the band at this point. It's been too long.
Didn't you just go somewhere?
I was just got back from Costa Rica. My whole family was down there for Christmas.
Great.
That was very nice.
Traveling with the Dandies is what you're doing now for traveling, for the most part.
It's just the way I like. At this point, it's the people that I've met around the world that I really want to get back and see and hang out with. And if I get to play a show too, that's even better. I don't know. There's been so much traveling in the last 28 years or whatever it is, that it's more seeing the people again.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of stuff in a lot of places, but I want to go see my friends again.
Yeah. 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 And imagine when you're in a band that travels a lot, that the last thing you want to do when you get done with tours, go travel somewhere, really. You want to stay home.
Yeah. In the beginning, it wasn't that case. I just wanted to travel constantly. And my wife and I did a lot of that for many years until her business took off. And then she was unable to travel for fun because she was traveling for business.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, it's I love traveling. I mean, there's nothing better than going somewhere else. You learn so much. You know, mm-hmm. you really... the first time I traveled to a third world country, it was amazing. And I thought, everybody's got to do this because you don't understand, you know, you get back home and people are complaining about their life and you think you've got nothing to complain about.
Yeah.
It's our special place is in Jamaica, which is a really small fishing village in the south coast of Jamaica that if you guys like the places like you were talking about, I'll tell you about this place. I think you'd love it.
We love to go in Jamaica. We love to go to, what's the name of, I saw you had the Jimmy Cliff poster out there.
Yeah.
What's the name of the director's hotel? Oh,
Barry Henzel.
Yeah. Jake's.
Yeah. Have you been?
Yeah. We've stayed at Jake's for 2 weeks.
You're kidding me.
Is that what you're talking about?
We're going there on the 4th and it'll be nice. My 8th or 9th time there.
That's one of our dream places. We love to walk to a little town. I mean, it takes about an hour, but to eat at Smurfs. Do you know this cafe?
Yeah, Smurfs. Yeah, all those places. And the Pelican Bar. I'm sure you've been out to that. And yeah, it's just it's amazing. I first went there in 1998, and it was just I fell in love with it, and it hasn't changed.
The bass player for the Upside Down, her family, I think it's her uncle that lives in that area, but she told us about Jake's. And
It's a special place, isn't it? I mean, it's really...
It really is.
Nothing like it. So you got to go, Pete.
I mean, I guess so.
It's worth it. Peer pressure now. New Dandies album coming anytime soon?
Yeah, we're working on it. The pandemic, you know, has caused a little bit of a problem for us because our drummer is stuck in Australia. He did move there, but he's now stuck there for, I don't know, for how much longer. But that's slowing things down a bit.
Yeah.
But it's close. I think we're still maybe a song or two short of being ready to start mixing. So... And there's lots of ideas. They just need to be completed, get lyrics. And
yeah. I'm looking forward to that one, too.
Yeah.
So we can get a good flood of good music coming out here from this pandemic. I mean, it sounds like it's really going to do it. And then you guys are have a plan to go to Europe in February, hopefully?
That's the plan.
Excellent. Then Australia a few months later.
A few months after that, yeah.
Great. And then it starts up again, and there you go.
Yeah, and then I think back to Europe in June. And
you going to drag Son Adams along with you as well, anyway?
Love to.
Kicking and screaming?
That would be nice.
Well, I really appreciate you guys coming in to chat. It's been a lot of fun, and definitely keep in touch and love to do it again, so.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. Big thanks to Jason and Pete for coming in. That was a lot of fun. And I'm really looking forward to hearing the forthcoming Pete International Airport and Dandy War Hall's music. Looking forward to that. All right, here's one of my favorite tracks from the new Son Adams album, Let There Be Light. This one is called Captain Tunnel Vision.
Comes down, dry your eyes. inside job. Gold future soul like an angry mom. A lot of talk is just glitter, not glue. It's not what you say, it's what you do, 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 do.
Kian Jones from The Numbers and X-Ray FM. I wanted to hop on here right quick and talk to you all about outside. It is open. And we're out here. Seeing faces, slapping fives, hee-hee, ha-haing. Seeing pearly white teeth. Great things. But we want to be safe while we're doing it. Check into the COVID-19 vaccine. It's worth getting vaccinated so we can continue to be outside. Answers to questions about the vaccine, including where to find them, can be found at SafeStrongOregon.org. Support for X-Ray FM Radio comes from Safe and Strong.
Well, we are just about out of time. I'll see you next Saturday at 8 a.m. for another hour of freshly released tracks right here on X-Ray FM. You can always go back and listen to any previous This Just In show in the show vault on xray.fm. You can find the This Just In show page under the shows tab. Send me an email with any feedback, comments, artist, and new release suggestions, or just to say hi at david at thisjustinxrayfm.com. com. And be sure to follow the show's Instagram for all of the latest. Search on Instagram, This Just In X-Ray FM, and it should pop up there for you. I'm going to leave you with a track from one of Peter Holmstrom's awesome side projects, Pete International Airport. And this one is off the Safer with the Wolves album and with Jason Adams on vocals. This is VHS or Betafish. Have a great week. See you next Saturday on This Just In on X-Ray FM, 8 a.m. Thanks for listening.